In the spring of 2004, I gave a talk at the Baseball and Americana conference held at John A. Logan College. I must have said something right because during the conference, the director at WSIU-FM invited me to the station for a radio interview. I ended up doing three interviews with a very patient Brad Palmer. Afterwards, I spoke with Brad and Jeff Williams about expanding the interviews into a series of commentaries and stories, maybe something called Reading Baseball. I knew I had a face for radio, but I wasn't so sure about my voice. I'd listened to my interviews with Brad and thought I sounded like an aging hottie doody. I also worried about reading from a script. I liked writing about baseball, but I was a bumbling rookie when it came to a microphone. But Brad promised me that with today's electronics, he'd be able to eliminate all my bloopers and blunders. He also pointed out that as long as Frank DeFord was on the air, I wouldn't be the oldest sports commentator on NPR. So 8 years ago, we launched the Reading Baseball series. One advantage I had when we started the series was the intense and irrational rivalry in our region between St. Louis Cardinal and Chicago Cub fans. I had to be the luckiest baseball commentator on the face of the earth because I was living in a region where roughly half of our baseball fans believes that God is a Cardinals fan, while the other half believes its lovable loser Cubs are cursed by a billy goat. Over the years, I dipped into what seemed like an endless stream of baseball stories about the game's greatest legends and moments, as well as its most outrageous buffoons and scandals. I also drew from my experiences like playing town ball in Cooperstown, eating an awful-tasting crab cake at a Baltimore Orioles game, and drowning my sorrows in Iron City beer after yet another losing season for my hometown Pittsburgh Pirates. Despite my high-pitched voice, no angry listeners showed up at WSIU-FM to demand Reading Baseball be removed from the air so their dogs would stop howling. Some generous listeners actually said they liked the series, including a few who said they didn't like baseball. I believe in the baseball adage that sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, so for the first few years I didn't change a thing about the format of Reading Baseball. But all that changed when I showed my wife Anita the draft of a Reading Baseball piece that I thought she'd find amusing. When her reaction was funnier than what I'd written, I put her comments into the piece as a punchline. When listeners came up to me and said they liked the piece with Anita in it, I asked her to comment on other pieces until the line, "When I asked my wife Anita," became a regular feature in the series. The more appearances Anita made, the more listeners told me how much they enjoyed her comments. One morning, when we were shopping at the neighborhood co-op, a customer approached us, asked if I were Pete Peterson, and said, "Then this must be the famous Anita." Thanks to Anita, I'm feeling more these days like an aging George Burns than a Frank DeFord, but in baseball, as in Reading Baseball, it helps to have a great closer. Today's commentary is the 150th broadcast and the beginning of the ninth year for Reading Baseball, so I asked Anita if she thought I could make it through another season. She just smiled and said that Reading Baseball is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you'll get. This is Pete Peterson.
And his wife, Anita.
For Reading Baseball.